Shares of Massey Energy were down about 4.5% last week. 2 weeks ago, though, when the search for survivors was still underway at the Upper Big Branch mine, the company and some Wall Street analysts issued rosy financial forecasts. They essentially told investors, don't worry. NPR's Howard Berkus has more.
5 days after the deadly blast, Morningstar analyst Michael Tian didn't see a big problem for Massey Energy investors.
Maybe in a couple of years, they're going to restart that mine, and that profitability will be back. It doesn't really dent the long-term earnings power of this company.
And a few days later, Matthew Christie of Standard & Poor's Equity Research told investors to buy Massey stock.
I think it was a great opportunity for investors to be buying into the company.
That's because the Upper Big Branch mine produces coal that's used to make steel, and it is high-priced and in high demand, especially overseas. Massey says it may lose as much as $225 million to less coal production, wrongful death suits, and destroyed equipment, but Christie still says buy.
After the accident, they lost about $1 billion in market value. And taking a look at past mining accidents, that decline was way overdone, considering potential ranges that the company could face if they were found completely liable for the miners' deaths.
25 analysts track Massey Energy, but few commented right away. Among those holding back was Meredith Bandy of BMO Capital Markets.
I think the reason you didn't see more of that is because, frankly, it is a little crass. It's almost like saying that the lives of these 29 people don't matter. People aren't going to want to sort of really pound the table and insist that investors buy it, because I think there is a perception, even on Wall Street, that that's quite crass.
But Bandy agrees with the general analysis of Christie and Tian, and all three note the same wild cards: bad publicity, tighter scrutiny from regulators, and tougher laws from Congress. They could hurt productivity, increase costs, and scare off investors. Christie knows this sounds cold, given the human cost.
It's an incredibly tragic accident. 29 miners died, but I have to look at the stock stoically.
And here's Michael Tian.
These are two separate parts. You can sort of feel like, oh man, you know, all these people died and whatever it is, but you still have to do the analysis. If you don't do that, you're just not doing your job.
Some Massey shareholders link the financial and human costs, demanding the resignation of CEO and board chairman Don Blankenship. 8 state pension funds owning 2% of the company say Blankenship and the board diminished the value of their investment and may have cost workers their lives. Badge Humphreys is an attorney for another investor, the Manville Trust. It is suing to hold Blankenship and the board personally liable.
Through a shareholder lawsuit, we can do that so that these types of incidents do not recur in the future, and so that there's a different safety culture, so that it's a sounder, more valuable investment for long-term investors.
There is at least one group, of course, that could care less about the investment, the investors, or the analysts. Mark Moreland is a West Virginia attorney representing the widow of William Griffith, one of the 4 missing miners found dead 5 days after the blast.
There are number crunchers at Massey headquarters trying to decide whether this disaster is going to affect its bottom line. Certainly, she didn't have the luxury of thinking about Massey's bottom line or her bottom line. She was worried about the survival of her husband.
Marlene Griffith later went after Massey's bottom line, filing the first wrongful death suit. Massey Energy did not respond to NPR's request for comment for this story. In a conference call with Wall Street analysts Thursday, Massey executives observed a moment of silence for the dead and then took 90 minutes of questions about the company's financial outlook. Howard Berkus, NPR News.